to pieces and worry about it. The Apostle Paul in prison is given a lesson on how to find peace rather than worry. If you go back and look at 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, and see the basic history of the Apostle Paul and what he'd gone through.
For more expository preaching from Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, tune in weeknights at 9 and Saturday mornings at 9 on The Truth. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you once again for joining us on this broadcast today. We're looking forward to your dialogue and discussion. 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. That telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your question, comment, dialogue, and discussion on the issue we're talking about. What is the mystery of the kingdom? On the first half of the broadcast, we've already set the stage. We've read the text, Mark's Gospel, the 4th chapter, verses 1 through 20. We've asked the questions, what is a parable? Why did Jesus speak in parables? What is the mystery of the kingdom? What is he explaining? And in the balance of the text, when it talks about the 4 soils, the 4 one seed and the one sower, he fully explains the mystery of the kingdom of God. The mystery. Mystery is something that is covered, something that is unseen, unknown, unheard, not recognized right off. Multitudes today do not recognize, understand, perceive what is the kingdom of God. Who makes up the kingdom? Dr. Davis made mention earlier, it is the word basileon, means the rule and the reign of God. If there's a kingdom, there's a king. Jesus Christ is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. It is his rule, his reign, the basileon, the kingdom of God. Who makes up the, if you please, the citizens of the kingdom of God? Those that are saved, S-A-V-E-D, those that have said yes to Jesus. Jesus is on the boat in the text in the that we're looking at today. He's on the boat. He's pushed off from shore. And he says in that third verse, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it. Dr. Phelps, the first soil that is mentioned here is the wayside. It is the wayside. But by the way, before we get into the thought about the wayside, don't want to get into the depth of what Jesus said at this point. But what is the wayside? In just a moment, we'll talk about that, ladies and gentlemen. As we look at the text, though, I want to remind our listeners, the seed is talking about the Word of God. The sower is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word, sowing the Word. But he explains the mystery of the kingdom by talking about the 4 different hearts, the dirt, the soil. In fact, I told my bride the other day, I said, when I preach on this text, I believe I'm going to call it, what kind of dirt are you? She said, no, you can't call it that. But in the text, it's talking about the 4 different soils, and Jesus explains very clearly that he's talking about the heart. So, Dr. Phelps, when we see that first one that talks about falling on the wayside, you find that term? Read for our listeners verse 4 and verse 15.
Mark 4 and verse 15.
And for, these, verse 4 and 15.
Verse 4 also. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Verse 15, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they had heard, Satan cometh immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts.
Dr. Phelps, let me just do a little setting of the stage and then ask you to respond. Verse 4, it says, fell on the wayside, and the fowls, the birds of the air, came and devoured it. Verse 15 clearly says that it is Satan that devours it. Explain this wayside. What is the wayside? What do our listeners need to understand? If the seed, the Word of God, is sown and it falls on the wayside, what is the wayside? What does that connote? And what does Jesus say in verse 15?
Well, first of all, let me say that in each of these mentions of the sowing and the soil and the sower, there's a problem with the hearts of those who hear. And I, if I may, I would like to go back for just a minute and talk about how that our hearts must be or may be transformed only if we are preparing our hearts to hear the Word of God. Some people are described as not preparing his heart to receive the Scriptures or to receive the things of God. I would like to, first of all, suggest that way back in the Old Testament, and the Old Testament is very, very important in our faith and our walking with God. But the Old Testament describes some people who were not preparing their hearts to seek the Lord. And one of those persons is Rehoboam, one of the kings, one of the wicked kings. The Bible says he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. Let me read the verse. 2 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 14. And he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. So I believe it's a matter of the heart. There's a hearing problem. And notice that this says he prepared not his heart. It's something that must be done by the individual.
Yes.
And that could be very well referring to repentance, having a willingness to respond to the Word of God in repentance.
Yes.
And so when people then are spoken of, each of these different hearts, the first one is a hard heart.
Mm-hmm. Explain that based on, Jesus called it the wayside.
The wayside.
It's what is the wayside? What does that mean? I believe our listeners need to understand that.
The word simply doesn't sink in that kind of soil. And I'm familiar with that, having been brought up on a farm in Virginia. And I've walked many paths on our farm that are well-tread, well-worn. And you don't see much of anything growing there.
That's right.
Because it's too hard for the soil to actually produce a life.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And as one theological historian recorded it this way, on that wayside, it's the pathway between properties, between crops, between ownership, and it's the trodden. We'd call it the little path, the little roadway, the roadway that people would walk on, not with cars then, of course. And it was compacted soil that when the seed, i.e. the Word of God, was sown by the Lord Jesus Christ, it fell on the wayside, and the soil was so hardened the seed could not penetrate and take root. That's illustrative of those hearts today. I've seen people sitting in the congregation, Dr. Davis, that I preached to down through the years, not the same ones, but over and over, people that will sit and with a stern, hardened heart, regardless of what the Word of God said, regardless of what the Holy Spirit was saying, they were hardened, would not receive, would not allow the Word of God to penetrate that hardened heart. That's what Jesus is talking about, the hardened heart, the soil falling on the wayside. And as a result of it not taking seed, not taking root, Satan comes and plucks up the seed. The word is gone, without benefit, without taking root. So, Dr. Davis, the first one that the Lord Jesus gives, the seed falling on the wayside. The second one is the stony ground. Read for us, Dr. Davis, verse 5 and 6, and then jump over to verse 16 and 17, and read those four verses, and then let's explain it for our listeners.
Okay, 5 and 6 says, "And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away." Mm-hmm. And then we want to go to
verses 16 and 17.
Mm-hmm. "And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended."
Mm-hmm. Explain now, that to our listeners.
I have to believe, Dr. Youngblood, if I back this up a little bit and bring it on up to where we're at right now today, that wayside or that path, if I can bring it up in today's language, could be Walmart, the restaurant, the drugstore, anywhere where a preacher or anyone that's been assigned the duty that will yield to the Spirit's yearning in their heart when the Spirit tugs on your heart. And I'm saying this for a reason, because it's happened to me so many times. And I believe I told you of a situation where God allowed me to speak a word to a young man, and I could only hope and pray after he heard that word. He didn't seem to receive it that day. But I could only hope and pray that he got it right with God, because after that, a couple of days later, he passed away. Mm-hmm. So I have to believe we as ministers or any lay member, when the Spirit tugs at your heart to share a word with anybody in Walmart or anywhere on the wayside, If their hearts are not prepared, just like it is with this stony ground, I'm going to bring it up to what I just read, then they're not going to receive this word the right way. A lot of times, well, let me say every single time you hear the word of God, especially when you hear about the goodness of God and how much he really loves you, in spite of who you are, in spite of what you've done, he's still willing to receive you and forgive you if you just repent, take the proper steps to get it right with him. If you simply do that, God is willing to receive you. People receive portions of that with joy, just like it did with this person here, mm-hmm, on the stony ground, mm-hmm, and they'll rejoice for a while. Oh man, I'm so glad, I'm so happy that this is the type of God that we serve, and they'll go on rejoicing and jumping. But as soon as persecution, mm-hmm, when trouble starts coming, my bishop used to say, when trouble gets thick, people thin out. Mm-hmm. People are willing to just throw the towel in, because now it doesn't feel good anymore to be connected to the kingdom of God, because persecution and these kind of things are going to happen. Jesus said, if we are Christian, anyone that nameth the name of Christ, we're going to suffer persecution.
Yes.
So if that's the case, then we need to know this goes along with the program. But now this person on the stony ground, stony heart, not been prepared to receive this word, they rejoiced for a little time, but as soon as trouble came, they fell away.
Absolutely. And here's the essence of it also, to cap that off, what you've just said. Stony ground, literally as the scripture validates with Jesus speaking, had just enough soil over the stony ground that the seed went down. It took root, but the root did not sustain itself because the problems, the difficulties, the frustrations, the involvement in the world overcrowded and destroyed the seed. That's exactly what Jesus is talking. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Don't be embarrassed about your question. There's no such thing as a silly question or a dumb question. Love to hear from you. Is this interesting? Is it beneficial? Are you learning anything? Is it bringing conviction? What's this study doing today to your heart? Is it revealing to you the need to say yes to Jesus? Is it pointing out to you the kind of soil that your heart is made of? Because the seed is the Word of God. The sower is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the same seed, the same sower that's sown, but there are four different soils that the seed falls on. And in this particular one, Jesus calls it stony ground. The seed did not just fall on the rocks. It didn't fall on the crusty, rocky ridges. The stony soil had that thin layer of soil. The seed would spring up quickly. I've seen those Dr. Davis and Dr. Phelps that you could preach. They would immediately receive or immediately embrace. Some even willing to follow the Lord in baptism. 6 months later, a CIA search warrant wouldn't find them. What is the problem? The seed went into that stony ground with the thin layer of soil, and it did not take root that would sustain the plant growing so that it would produce fruit.
Well, Dr. Youngblood, I've heard the older saints call them shallow Christians.
Shallow Christians. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Shallow.
Mm-hmm. But
they're Christians, but they have not received the deep meaning of God's word. They don't understand it in the fullness enough.
That's true on the
stand on it.
That's true on the surface, but based on the text that we're in, Jesus winds up saying that out of the four soils, only one was saved. Only one produced fruit. And the one that produces the fruit is the only soil, the only heart that is truly a believer.
Amen.
That's part
Amen.
Of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
That's revealing the mystery. So, Dr. Phelps, we see wayside, stony ground. What about verse 7, and then read verse 7, and then read verse 18 and 19 for our listeners. It talks about among the thorns,
mm-hmm.
thorny soil.
Some fell among thorns. And the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Jesus said, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful.
Yes, explain that to our listeners.
This one is talked about here in verse 22, verse 8, 17, 18, and 19. We find that this is a thorny ground, and it is choked by the things of this world. Choked by, sometimes by possessions, by riches, as in the story in Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 and following, of the rich man who came to Jesus. And when Jesus and he got around to talking about this man's possessions, the man just turned and went away sorrowful because he had great riches.
Amen.
And so that was more important to him than the things of God. We find that many people are like that today. The people who receive the word simply are choked by the things of this world.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They are strangled, if you please. And so do not take root and do not produce fruit. Also, in the story about the man who had this barn and he had great products from the soil and his farm, but he wasn't satisfied with that. He built a bigger barn.
Mm-hmm. Luke 16.
So to place his goods, but he didn't last for long himself.
Mm-hmm.
God says, this day shall your soul be taken.
And the scripture there, Dr. Phelps, where it talks about cares of this world, I just summarize that being too busy for Jesus.
Well, some people are caught up in making money in this mm-hmm. world. Mm-hmm. And that's their whole purpose. That is their whole desire, mm-hmm. their great desire. Like a man I heard about in San Francisco who had a car chain, auto place where they sold vehicles. And he was pulling his hair out and walking back and forth in his office because of the care that he had, and he could hardly contain himself. Mm-hmm. He was not content.
That's right.
There was no contentment.
Well, just as the scripture says, with the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. I've talked with people that say, well, preacher, I can't come to church on Sunday. I'm working. It's an impossibility for me to be in Sunday school because I'm working. Or it's an impossibility because I work on Saturday and I have to sleep on Sunday. It is the deceitfulness of riches, seeking desiring wealth, sending multitudes to hell today because they had rather have the money, the position, and the covetousness of what the world has done. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that if we're serving the Lord Jesus Christ, if we're busy in the Word, receiving the Word, accepting the Word, growing in the Word, producing fruit through the Word, I believe that God's going to honor that by providing our needs. God is faithful to meet every need. In Matthew 6, verse 33 says, but seek ye first, that's protos, priority, number one, seek ye first the kingdom of God, the basileion of God, and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. And in chapter 6 in Matthew, before you get to that 33rd verse, it's talking about food, clothing, and shelter. All of these things shall be added unto you. Yet, ladies and gentlemen, I believe there are a lot, and perhaps you fall into that category, that you're too busy, you've been deceived into believing that you've got to have more, that you've got to pay that refrigerator payment, the carpet payment, the car payment, the furniture payment, the the internet payment, the iPhone payment, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and you've got the work to take care of all of that, and you're unwilling to do with less and let God provide, and you be involved in the study of the Word, the worship of the Word, and to be involved in sharing the Word of God with others. Dr. Davis, I believe that as we see that, we see the cares and the covetousness and the cravings can prevent a person from being saved. That's what the scripture is talking about. The mystery of the kingdom is talking about the basileion of God, those that are saved. Jesus is very clearly, through the parabolic approach in the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, pointing out who's saved and who's lost. So now at this point, Jesus has already given us three hearts that are lost hearts. Three hearts that are without salvation. Three hearts that have not received the Word and let the Word bear fruit. And then he talks about, in the text that is before us, it talks about the last of the four soils. That is the good ground. Dr. Davis, read verse 8 and then read verse 20.
And he said, verse 8, and other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And then verse 20 says, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So what he's saying here, again, the key part to verse number 30, is that when they heard the word...
Number 20.
Number 20. I'm sorry, yeah. Verse 20. In verse 20, the key part of what he explained there is when he said, when they heard the word, they received it.
Mm-hmm.
It grieves my heart today, each time I go to a person to witness to them about Christ Jesus, and they look on my outer person.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes down to having a respect of persons, Dr. Youngblood, we have got to learn how to discipline ourselves from that.
Yes.
Because that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a shame to say it's in the church.
Mm-hmm.
There are still racial problems in the church. There are still, when we look at positions of society, the rich, the poor, et cetera, et cetera, mm-hmm. You know, people want to separate themselves for one reason or another. These are still issues that plagues the church. We need to learn how to separate ourselves from that, because when you go to Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible says Jesus came and tore down the middle wall of partition that was between us to make in himself of the two, that's the Jew and the Gentile, one new man, that's the Mishbohah, in God. So that means we are all one in Christ. But when we look at this word that we're talking about today, how we can go out and preach the word, how some come to the church, and because you're not T.D. Jakes or Billy Graham,
mm-hmm.
because you're not carrying a big title or standing out in the spotlight,
mm-hmm.
or because you don't allow them to come to church and do the thing that they want to do and still say that they are Christian, they don't want to receive the message coming from you.
Yes.
That can be a very dangerous thing, because your very soul could be at stake.
Absolutely. And Dr. Davis, on the heels of that, let me tie up some loose ends for our listeners. When the scripture talks about falling on good soil, good ground, in that 8th verse and in that 20th verse, the contrary and in contrast to the other three soils, the other three hearts that Jesus is speaking about, the seed in this good ground, the seed, which is the Word of God, takes root in the soil. The root goes down deep. The root produces the tree or the plant. The tree or the plant produces the fruit. You find in this particular one the people who hear, who receive, and obey the word. The three things there, Dr. Phelps.
I would like to suggest that what we're talking about here in this good ground kind of soil, excuse me, that we're talking about an open heart.
Open heart,
amen.
Absolutely.
Amen.
A person is willing to receive
Receptive.
The Word of God.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
He's willing to respond to the Word of God, receiving it and then responding. The Scriptures talks about believing in the heart. And so we believe that Jesus is talking about that fruit, which being eternal life.
Absolutely.
And a person is truly saved because he received it.
Amen.
And he received it, and as a result of receiving it, he produces fruit.
Amen. Good works.
I have said so many times.
Amen.
I've said so many times, where there's no root, there's no fruit. Where there's no fruit, there's no root.
Amen.
And so if the word has taken root in your heart, you've said yes to Jesus Christ. You have heard, you've received, you've obeyed. As a result of that, proof is in the pudding. You're going to produce like kind of fruit. So, ladies and gentlemen, the question is, what kind of heart do you have? What kind of soil is the seed being sown in your life? Can you say today, before God and before man, that I've said yes to Jesus Christ? I'm saved. I know it. My life is producing fruit. I pray that that's the case. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now in